Welcome to Creative Warriors, a community of purpose-driven entrepreneurs, creative thinkers in business doing what we are meant to do. I'm your host, Jeffrey Shaw. Hey, Warriors, I am very excited to have Danielle Watson with us today. I've never done an episode that is totally geared towards our women warriors, but hey, it's about time. You guys could certainly listen in too. Danielle has a fascinating story as an anthropologist who realized there were more treasures of self-discovery to be found in a purse than in dirt. Welcome, Danielle.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Let me tell you a bit about Danielle. Danielle Watson is an anthropologist and the creator of the purse process. Instead of digging around in the dirt for treasures left behind by lost civilizations, Danielle uses her powers in an innovative and far more girly way. She is the most fashionable interpreter of culture on the planet today and the world's foremost expert on revealing the hidden in plain sight reason your desires elude you. In an hour or less, the purse process will reveal the path to turning your hidden gems into your greatest assets. So Danielle, before you share your amazing insights with us, we want to know a bit more about you personally. So what does your current choice of handbag say about where you're at today?
Oh my goodness. So my current choice of handbag is a little almost wrist resting purse that is a Kate Spade brand. Ladies, if you're familiar with Kate Spade, she has very feminine handbags. It's structured, but it has some really fun stripes. And the reason I chose it is because I tend to wear a lot of bold colors, but also no prints. And so having a striped handbag is something that allows my bag to really pop against my clothes.
That's great. So you've given some serious thought into this.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
What's the best piece of advice or a meaningful quote or a favorite book that you would offer to inspire us and why?
Oh, my goodness. My very favorite book is actually part of a series of books. I couldn't choose which one I love the most, but it's the Choose Your Own Adventure series of books. And I read these when I was probably 8 or so, and they still inform me today. They're wonderful for entrepreneurs. They're wonderful for people who need to get a handle on what is their mindset, how do they make decisions. So go check those out from your library if you haven't checked them out lately, because they will help you as an adult as much as they entertained you as a child.
Ah, that's fantastic. I'm not familiar with that series. I will be checking that out. So before you explain more fully what the purse process is, first share with us what the purse process symbolizes, because I'm thinking the purse is a metaphor, no?
That is a very astute observation. Yes, the purse is a metaphor for what is going on in your life. It is a microcosm of the macrocosm that makes up your life and your way of thinking. So I use it to represent how you make choices, how you think about the world, how you respond to situations. Everything you ever wanted to know about yourself and why you do that is represented in your handbag.
All right. So then we need to know. So tell us a little bit more in depth. Like, tell us a little bit more about the purse process.
Well, when I first started developing the purse process, because of my background in anthropology and archaeology, it was really obvious to me the connection between a collection of items that you might have in your handbag and a collection of items from a civilization that no longer exists. And you know, we all go to museums and we look at a collection of items and we know about a civilization that we can't talk to the people anymore, but we know about what they valued and how they lived and all kinds of just amazing things about them just from the things that are left behind. And when I translated that into modern times and made it more fresh and innovative, it was something that people were like, yeah, that's really interesting, but I don't get how you're seeing what you're seeing. And so what I did was I noticed that there were specific patterns that showed up over and over and over again, and that there were specific issues that would arise in a woman's life because of those patterns. And so what I did to make it fun and entertaining and a little bit more lighthearted and less scary was I created 4 purse process personality profiles or archetypes, and I gave them cute names like Dumpster Debbie, Vanishing Veronica, Absent Abigail, and Perfect Priscilla.
And Snow, do you, is there a, as part of the process, do you literally dive into people's purses and see what's in there?
I literally do. And I've done it for women all over the world. So I do it virtually almost 90% of the time. It's very rare that I'm actually in the same room with a woman and her purse, unless I'm speaking at an event or something like that. Usually what I have women do is take photos of the contents of their bag and the bag. And from the very beginning, they're giving me information about who they are and what they value and how they think, because there's great variability in what people will take photos of, how many photos, whether they group the items together, what they leave out. I actually had one woman send me many photos of the inside of her bag and the things that were in it, and forgot to send me the photo of the bag itself. And to me, that was just so clear what she was, you know, where her headspace was at, essentially.
Exactly. That was, I was going to ask you, there, can you share an example of something that was kind of an aha, like something that was in someone's bag, or maybe not in the bag, but more likely in the bag that, wow, really spoke a lot about where that person was at?
I have a variety of examples of that, from something as small as, you know, if you carry a lot of garbage around in your bag, it's a pretty strong indicator that you tend to carry around other types of garbage in your life, whether that be relationships that aren't serving you or old beliefs that aren't helping you. But also very specific things, like people will carry 5 or 6 types of lipstick, but they never wear it. And so that, you know, says a whole nother thing about someone.
That's terrific. And so that explains that, Mason. Maybe we want to know a little bit more about the 4 personality types. And I'll clarify that personality is P-U-R-S, personality types. So tell us, what is the essence of each of those 4 personality types?
Well, the essence of a Dumpster Debbie purse process personality archetype is, this is a woman who has a huge heart, who just wants to love and be loved, but she tends to take on other people's baggage, literally and figuratively. She takes on emotional baggage. She tends to carry things for other people. She tends to always try to be prepared to serve everyone. And this is a wonderful quality to have when you have certain boundaries in place. You know, we all love that person who just wants to hug us and is going to bring us chicken soup when we're sick. But when somebody like that doesn't have boundaries, they tend to get walked all over. And it leads to resentment, and it leads to them being one less loving, bright light in the world. So I like to bring the good qualities of a Dumpster Debbie to the forefront first, because she tends to have the strongest reaction to being called a dumpster. Nobody likes to be called a dumpster. But those positive qualities of being loving and wanting to nurture people are amazing. And it's just a matter of getting conscious to, you know, how those qualities serve you and how they can limit you.
It sounds like a heavy load, which is,
yes.
Yeah.
Okay. And, you know, you won't be surprised to hear that a Dumpster Debbie generally has an enormous handbag that is full to the brim and has not been cleaned out in a good long while.
I got it. All right. So tell us about another archetype.
Well, the second one is Vanishing Veronica. And when I was researching Vanishing Veronica, she was pretty slippery and hard to identify. You can kind of tell that by the way I named her. And this is a woman who really wants to sort of blend in and disappear into the background. I like to describe her as like a superhero, like Superman or any one of those caped or masked sort of superheroes. She tries to just pass as a normal human being, sort of like Clark Kent, you know, back in the original Superman movies. He would put his glasses on and we were all supposed to believe that nobody could tell that he was actually Superman. That's sort of what a Vanishing Veronica does. She carries around a very bland looking bag, but on the inside, she has all these amazing treasures or things of beauty or things that she's been very deliberate about choosing. And she doesn't want people to know that she's this wonderful, bright, vibrant, colorful, smart person on the inside, because it simply doesn't feel safe for her because of whatever experiences she's had in life. Doesn't feel safe for her to let people know how amazing she is.
This is really cool. I have to say, I'm getting really into this. So tell me about the next one then.
The next one is an absent Abigail. And I have to admit, this is my favorite woman to meet out in the world because I have a little streak in me that likes to surprise people. So absent Abigail tends to carry a wallet or a wristlet type purse or no purse at all. And whenever I go out into the world, there's always one woman in the room who likes to walk up to me with a great deal of energy and say, you know, I don't carry a purse. I couldn't possibly fit into, you know, what you're saying. Your research is invalid. And I take great glee in letting her know that actually, yes, she's already in my profiles. And that somebody who falls into this absent Abigail category tends to be someone who chooses practicality over what makes her heart sing. And it's wonderful to be practical. It's wonderful to make responsible choices. But sometimes we can take that to the extreme when we no longer do things that light us up, that feed our creativity, that make us feel like we want to engage with the world. And so an absent Abigail is somebody who can really benefit from taking a look at, you know, where have I scaled back on just giving myself things that make me feel amazing inside.
So really what you're creating an offering, and we're going to talk about the fourth one in a moment, but it sounds like what you're offering is balance. You know, that you're allowing them to embrace and love who they already are.
Yeah.
And to just be aware of maybe some of the reasons why and then be given a choice to balance that if they choose to.
Absolutely. It's all about self-awareness so that you can make choices from a place of pursuing what it is that really matters to you rather than just having a knee-jerk reaction.
Excellent. All right. So then
The fourth and last purse process personality profile is our perfect Priscilla. And she's pretty easy to identify, at least by other ladies, because she carries a designer handbag and it has to have a matching wallet. Now, not every perfect Priscilla I meet carries the designer handbag, but it's not because she doesn't want to, it's because she can't afford it. So the hallmark of the designer bag, the matching wallet, perfect Priscilla, she's perfectly named because she wants to appear perfect. She wants to appear like she has it all together, like she knows it all, that everything is perfect and wonderful in Priscilla land. And what tends to happen is somebody like this has a really hard time connecting with others because they seem so unreachable and they seem so much more varnished than the rest of us. They don't seem entirely human. And so people don't tend to want to help this person. They don't tend to befriend this person or connect with this person. And so a perfect Priscilla tends to end up feeling very alone. But the wonderful thing about a perfect Priscilla, especially, you know, if you're a creative type or you're in business for yourself, is this is a woman who values quality. And you can always count on her to do the very best possible job with whatever it is that she's involved with, because she can't settle for anything less than giving her very best.
Beautiful. All right. So now I hope I'm not getting in over my head here, but what have you found to be some of the most common things that hold women back?
Oh my goodness. Okay. So the things that really hold women back are not believing in themselves, allowing people who don't have the right to give them feedback, and trying to do it all themselves.
Excellent. So now I coach both men and women, and let's speak for a moment, particularly to entrepreneurs and who I coach both men and women. And in some cases, I can see that what men and women want from their businesses is different. And although I don't like to live in a world of division, differences, and absolutes, do you think that the emotional needs of men and women are different as far as what they need to gain from being an entrepreneur?
You know, that is a wonderful thing to contemplate. I think that women do tend to invest more of their identity into their business, just from the women that I've been around. And so whether your business succeeds or fails, women tend to believe that has more to do with who they are as a person rather than, you know, this was a an adventure that worked or an adventure that ended in disaster. They tend to just take it on a little bit more as a reflection of, you know, I am worthy or I am unworthy. And I just, the men that I've been around are more open to, you know what, that was an idea and I pursued it and it didn't work out and now I'm going to change direction, rather than a woman who maybe has an idea and pursues and it doesn't work out and she goes, well, I'm no good, I can't do this.
Yeah, or I think sometimes it can seem like it's this two sides of the same coin. Like women entrepreneurs, women warriors that I've worked with, they have a certain amount of self-worth wrapped up in their business, sort of like what yeah. you're saying. Like being in business is a way of validating their self-worth. And men don't necessarily, it may not be as obvious. And yet underneath it, it's also about self-worth.
Mm.
You know, so I think it can appear just by the nature of differences between men and women. I think the same thing can appear, just like I said, opposite sides of the same coin.
Yeah. And if I might add to that, I think, you know, what we're noticing also is how that's being expressed. You know, women are running around talking about I'm no good or my self-worth, you know, was wrapped up in this. And maybe men are not quite as vocal about that, even though they're experiencing it.
Yeah, great point. So now, one of the things I love is that you tie in your past as an anthropologist, because entrepreneurs so often turn their back on their past when they set out in a new direction.
Yeah.
Where I believe it's part of the whole story. And I encourage my clients to consider all their past work experiences, life experiences, to build the story of why they do today. To me, it's what completes the story. So tell us how being an anthropologist connects to the work you're doing now, other than the obvious digging in the purse. But what a life transition this has been. And I'm kind of curious about that.
Oh my goodness, yes. And I couldn't agree more with you that we all need to think more about bringing all of our skills and talents forward, because there was a reason that we studied whatever it was we studied or whatever experience we had. And there's so much value that we can bring to that. And just remind ourselves that no matter where we are, that we're really not beginners, that we have had life experience that's brought us to where we are, and that we can bring that to the table at any moment. So, you know, the study of anthropology, if anyone listening isn't familiar, it's the study of humans throughout space and time. And I have just always had a fascination with humans and human behavior. And originally I thought, oh, well, that means that I should be a psychologist because I want to study humans and human behavior. But then I realized that, wow, there's quite a bit of responsibility that goes along with being a psychologist or a psychiatrist or a therapist. And so anthropology for me was a way for me to get to understand humans and the human condition and different ways of seeing the world and different beliefs without having to assign a label to it. And I have to say that my training in anthropology has really helped me as a coach, because one of the things you learn as an anthropologist as you're studying other people and cultures and phenomenon is that you're responsible to record what is, but you're not responsible for placing a judgment on it. You don't have to, and you should not consider it good or bad. It's just making note of what is, what beliefs would lead someone to have this point of view or behavior. And so that's been super helpful for me as I've worked with clients, because each one sort of has their own unique culture that I get to study.
I just love that answer. That's so cool. One of my passions in life has always been gardening. And I have to say, landscape design and gardening has been one of the greatest things that I've done to support me as a coach and as a photographer. Because what you realize is that what's in common in all of them is that it's both, they're all an art and a science. You know, when it comes to landscape design and laying out gardens, yes, there's the art of the patterns that you create, but it's a moot point if the plant can't survive in that position. So you have to consider the science of it. Right.
Yeah.
So knowing that has been the greatest skill teaching for me to be a coach, to help people work from both the emotional and the practical side, particularly entrepreneurs, so I can get them in touch with themselves and get them into action.
Yeah.
So I love your explanation of that. I think it just really enforces that idea of our past experiences playing into our current endeavors. Love that. One thing I have to comment on is that your branding is really tight. The look of your site, your core message, the way you deliver your message, all of it is extremely well done. I personally know that is not an easy journey to be that self-aware and communicate it clearly. In fact, it's one of the biggest challenges, I think, for people that are in business from a place of purpose. It's one of the greatest challenges. So can you provide some tips on how you went from creating such tight branding, being self-aware and communicating it to those who you want to serve?
Oh my goodness. Yes, I would love, love, love to do that. So when I first started looking into how I needed to brand myself and how I needed to project my message and my image out to the world, most of the information I received was saying, look at what people are wanting from you and study what is working for others. And then I finally got the message that when people find you, what they really want is you. What they really came for was who you really are, not some packaged idea of, you know, how you should present yourself. And so I just started allowing people to see who I really am. And that is a girly girl. That is somebody who likes to wear dresses. I use the color red on my website because I like it. I use hand drawings in my blog because that's what I like to see. And so I really encourage people to just allow themselves to choose what lights them up and makes them feel like they are being authentically represented, and share themselves in a way that if somebody were to talk to somebody else about what they saw on your website about you, that you would be excited for them to share that. And just don't even bother trying to do research and surveys about what other people want. They want you. They want what it is you like. They connected with you because you have something inside of you that they're looking for. And so the more clearly you can just let your colors fly, the more amazing people who are the exact right people who need to be in your life are going to show up.
Do you think, and it's, again, this is actually reminding me of what we were talking about before, about the way men and women might express the same feeling differently. Mm. And it's the feeling of vulnerability, which women let be known more easily than men do. And it seems to me, or I want to ask you, do you think, is it a willingness to be vulnerable that stands in the way between people being that authentic on their website and in the branding, that they're afraid to be that vulnerable?
You know, it's interesting. I've actually studied Brené Brown's work quite a bit and was just teaching a class the other day about how I write my newsletter and that it's all based on vulnerability. And what I've noticed in my world is that it's not necessarily a matter of willingness. It's a matter of people not understanding how to be vulnerable. And the thing that people really run into is, how do you share yourself while also having boundaries? And until you figure that piece out for yourself, what that means, or somebody teaches it to you, it's going to be difficult to share yourself because nobody wants to be that TMI person who gives way too much information. And I think that stops people from sharing, you know, the little bits about themselves that maybe they'd like to share. You know, I've also noticed from studying Brené Brown's work on vulnerability that it's super important to remember that what feels like vulnerability on the inside looks like courage on the outside.
Mm, wow, beautifully said. Wow, love that. And so you and I seem to be very aligned on the necessity for entrepreneurs and businesses to have a unique identifier, the tagline, if you will, that makes it easy for people who you want to serve to identify that you're the right one to serve them. Mm-hmm. So I'd love to hear a little bit about, because I believe from my reading about you that you have a process, if you will, by which you help entrepreneurs kind of create a tagline or their unique identity statement.
I do. I love that you asked me about that. So yes, the Purse Process is my flagship brand, but I also do something called the Pocket Muse, where I help people come up with taglines and other things for their branding. And it's, again, it's another iteration of what I've spent my whole life doing, which is studying people and their culture. So I get on the phone with somebody and I just start asking them about their brand and the flavor of their brand and what they want to communicate to people. I ask them personal questions. And out of that conversation, it just becomes so clear to me, as if you were just laying out a bunch of artifacts about your life in front of me. Another branch of having the kind of brain that I have, having the kind of creativity I have, having the training that I have received, it's just natural.
So, gosh, this might be a really tough question, but being an anthropologist, I mean, you've studied human behavior, behavior of people over civilization. So what is your assessment of where human behavior, what is human behavior today? Where are we at?
Oh my goodness, where are we at today? You know, it's my belief and observation that people are dividing into camps that are further and further apart from one another. But I feel like there is a critical mass of us who are coming together to say the world needs to be more open, more inclusive, more joyful, more celebratory, and we're going to make that happen. And I feel like there are people out there who are saying, you know, the world is unsafe and we need more rules and we need more, more things. And they're pushing against and trying to sort of collapse things down. But I really feel like there are so many of us who are saying the world is amazing. People are amazing, that we are going to, maybe not in my lifetime, but in the next 100 years, there's going to be a massive shift in how we communicate, how we open up to one another, how we run our civilization. Yeah, I feel like it has to be.
I think you're absolutely right. I mean, it, I've identified it as a craving for transformation.
Yes.
Like we're at a point where people are craving transformation. I actually refer to it as the new renaissance, because I think the people that are being called forward who can most be the leaders of the new renaissance or of this need for transformation are those that are in business like you are, who are purpose-driven, that we're doing something on purpose. We're doing something with a bigger mission. And I think there's just a vibe. Like I said, I call it the new renaissance. It's come out of my own movement that I'm looking to support in the world, because I love that you identified it. Like there's a banding of people coming together that can support the craving for transformation that people are looking for.
I love that. I'm going to take that new renaissance on and spread it.
Excellent. Well, use hashtag the new renaissance whenever you post, because that's
awesome.
That's my hashtag for it. So do you have any other tips that you can offer? The idea of standing out as a business is so critical. So I just wonder if you have any other tips that you could offer on how someone can stand out from the noisy competition.
You know, my number one tip is find things that are polar opposites and put them next to each other. Use juxtaposition. So, and anybody who's anybody knows who Indiana Jones is, and that's who most people think of as an anthropologist or archaeologist. So he's masculine and he's dirty and he's sweaty. And I have that same training, but I like girly things and skirts. And so I put that dirty thing next to that bubble bath thing, and it just really makes it pop. So look in your life for things that are opposites. A lot of times when I'm working with people to help them with their branding, in the language I use, I really like to take a word that feels masculine, that has some weight to it, and then put a word that feels feminine next to it. And it's an intuitive process, so I can't really describe how I do that. But if you can take things that are opposites, masculine, feminine, dirty, clean, anytime that you can take those two things and put them together in a new and interesting way, it's going to help you stand out.
So I assure you, warriors, I did not set her up for that answer, because it's so perfect. And Danielle, I don't know if you've ever noticed my own tagline, what my own branding tagline, which is clarity is the fearless union of conflicting ideas.
I just saw that and I was like, that is genius, because the way that you put it is just so succinct and clear.
Well, it took me about 2 months to come up with that, because the essence has been there for me for years, that, like you just said, the answer to life is being able to reason what appear to be opposites.
Yes.
Okay, so now if I spent 2 months figuring out how can I say that? And that's the point. That's the point of a tagline. How can I say that in a way that people are going to get it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I promise everyone, I did not walk her into that. It was just too perfect. It was really just perfect. So Danielle, I'm really curious about something on a more personal level, that I know the journey to have gone from an anthropologist, probably more left brain thinking person, to someone so self-aware, so clear on your brand, and seemingly right on purpose as to what you're meant to do. I know that's not an easy journey. So what are some of the biggest internal conflicts you had to work through to get to this point?
Oh my goodness. It's a laundry list. I have to back up a little bit and say, you know, between being trained as an anthropologist and becoming a coach and creating the PERS process, I had another bus stop, so to speak. And in that middle place, I actually had a yoga business. I had a mobile yoga studio, and so I was a yoga teacher. And I have to say that going through the process of learning to look at life from a yogic perspective very much helped me out when I got to the point where I was ready to allow people to see me in my full glory with all of the things that I was able to do. So, you know, some of the internal conflicts that have come up are things like, you know, will anybody buy this? Or nobody's ever heard of this before. How will I explain myself? Or what if people don't like me? Or what if I fail? You know, the same conflicts anybody has. And I'll admit that my primary PERS process personality archetype is the perfect Priscilla. I have a little bit of each of the archetypes in me, and most women do. But the idea of allowing myself to do this research and to develop something that nobody'd seen before, you know, there was no yardstick against which to measure how good it was. And so it was really scary to just say, okay, this is what I'm doing, and I've decided that it's good enough for me to start, you know, making a business out of this and asking people to pay me money for the insight that I had. That was huge.
I'm going to put a little bit of a coaching hat on here because I thought it was interesting. I was kind of curious as to what you thought your archetype was, and I could imagine it could have been perfect Priscilla because your website, as I said, is so buttoned down. And yet, what was interesting was when you were describing the four archetypes, you were more critical of that one than you were the others. Like the way you presented it was not the best attributes first.
Mm-hmm.
And that actually indicated to me that that was probably your archetype. And how interesting it is that in all the other archetypes, you put the best qualities first.
Yep.
But when we identified as our own, we were, you presented a little more negatively.
Absolutely. Yep. And, you know, we are always and forever our own worst critic.
Sorry to put you on the spot like that,
no,
but I just
thought
it was an interesting observation. Terrific. All right. So on that, our discovery round questions. So while you're preparing yourself, we're going to hear a brief message and we'll be right back. If you're in business doing something you're truly passionate about, my new training and coaching program, The Creative Warrior Unleashed, will rock your world. The Creative Warrior Unleashed is a 7-week program where you overcome the 7 core conflicts that stop creative entrepreneurs in their tracks. I know this journey. I've lived it myself. These are the 7 conflicts that are common amongst creative thinkers and must be overcome to achieve your highest level of success. You'll learn why your so-called lack of focus is your greatest asset. How to create more flow in your business so that being in business is easier than you ever imagined. How to create a clear brand identity so that you are easily found by your perfect clients. And create a diversified business that excites you and rewards you with multiple streams of income. In just 7 weeks, you can gain the clarity that you need for your business success. Simply go to creativewarriorunleashed.com to find out when the next 7-week program begins. The Creative Warrior Unleashed, the path to success for the creative warrior. Check it out, creativewarriorunleashed.com. All right, Danielle, it is time for our discovery round questions. First question, what drives you crazy?
Oh my goodness. What drives me crazy is when people are writing a check in the express lane at the grocery store.
It's awesome. Looking back, what's something you can't believe you did for your career?
Oh, wow. I cannot believe that I flew all over the country last year to share my purse process with people I'd never met without any planning. I just got on a plane and made it happen.
Oh, wow. Okay, a whole other podcast episode. Is there something in common in everything that inspires you?
Yes. The common thread is that everything that inspires me is out of the common way.
Beautiful. Last question. Imagine you are sitting around a campfire and out of the darkness appears your greatest enemy, which does not have to be a person. What inner warrior inside yourself do you call upon and why?
Oh my goodness. I would call upon my courage, and I would call upon that because it has never failed me.
Terrific. All right. So Danielle has offered us a very generous gift. It is the Purse Process Personality Profiles, which you heard her refer to a couple times in our call. And you can go, of course, get that at creative-warriors.com, where you can not only get Danielle's offer, but all the offers from previous guests as well. Danielle, thank you so much to be here. This has really been enlightening, and I know it's going to be loved by many. So thank you for sharing.
Thank you, Jeff.
Absolutely terrific. So that's it for now, warriors. Let's go out, create, serve, and be prosperous.